You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Carla Gannis. Carla, thanks so much for being with us today.
Sure.
Let's talk about what you're working on now. I don't really know how your studio practice is set up, but if you want to start there, or I'd like to start there, what is it that you're working on at the moment? It could be a project or something you're preparing for, anything.
Sure. On View, I have a large piece that I worked on for a year, and that actually was completed at the end of last year. But I'll start with that just because it's something that is up at the Hudson River Museum right now, and I'll be giving a talk about the piece. It's called The Garden of Emoji Delights, and it's 13 feet by 7 feet. It's a digital print. And I'll be going to the Hudson River Museum next Sunday at 2 p.m. and talking about the genesis of that work and the year that I spent emojifying and appropriating from Hieronymus Bosch's work, The Garden of Earthly Delights. I also made animations and a series of 3D digital prints, again, inspired by and based on the Hieronymus Bosch piece. And something I've been exploring for a long time in all of my work, I primarily work digitally. I like to describe my work as interdisciplinary, though, because a lot of times I was trained as a painter, so I'll start with drawing, and then I'll let those ideas start to generate across media platforms. Hence, I'll do projection mapping or digital printmaking or 3D printing or animated GIFs and those kinds of things. So that leads me to my latest project. And my latest project, similar to the Bosch in that I also work with digital media, I work with concepts that have to do with the ways that we express ourselves and communicate across networks today. And one example was using emoji as visual signifiers and mashing them up with this 16th century painting. And another example is my current project, which is called the Selfie Drawings Project. And I've been working on this project since January. And I've been making these digital drawings that I'm calling selfies. And they have this kind of graphic novel-like aesthetic. And I've been sharing them in this serialized form across various social media platforms. And I call them selfies, but they're also, you know, again, like the Bosch piece mashed up with the emoji, they're exploring earlier visual languages like self-portraiture, also the physical act of drawing. I'm digitally drawing these, but I'm using a stylus and a tablet. And then, you know, selfie culture today. And so I'm kind of representing myself, this mediated self, through this more, you know, slow traditional act of drawing. And then I've been, you know, working on these, as I said, this January, and they're starting to become more and more elaborate. They started off as these kind of quick gestural drawings I was doing on my iPad, and now I'm working on them sometimes for several days. And I'm juxtaposing, if I can spit that word out, myself with technology. So even though I call them drawings and I'm producing them digitally, the content itself has a lot to do with digital culture and networked culture.
Well, a lot of those almost seem like there's narratives in them, in the selfies, stories. I mean, you said it made a reference to the beginning about them seeming something like, just correct me if I'm wrong, but like mm-hmm. illustrations from novels or something, fiction. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, they seem to tell a story almost. I mean, by themselves. I don't mean in sequence, but they seem to have a narrative within them.
Yeah.
As opposed to selfie culture, which doesn't really have a narrative, right? It's usually.
This is very true. And I think I'm interested sometimes in making the familiar unfamiliar. I say sometimes interested. I think my life's work has actually been a pursuit of dealing with familiar concepts, pop culture, kind of vernacular that we use and that we are very familiar with, but making it unfamiliar and exploring its narrative potential, because I think it's an atavistic tendency for humans to see their lives as narratives or to be interested in stories. And so I feel like
right.
with these pieces, each one is you know, a one frame kind of narrative. And it's open-ended and nonlinear in the sense that I'm not making films or not making films right now of them, although I am thinking about exploring a longer form motion-based piece with one of these where I could really tell a more linear story. But they all do seem to be narratives in a way. And as I've worked on them, they're becoming more elaborate. And I think some of the ideas that are emerging and the stories that are emerging have to do with virtual communication, but they also have to do with things like surveillance and a branded identity and our own agency online too. And even the way, because I'm very active online, but I have second thoughts sometimes or a love-hate relationship with network culture and with technology in the sense that how much am I giving up or how much of a digital footprint am I leaving? And I'm happily doing so and I'm happily providing all this data, but at what, you know, consequence? And so all of those things kind of get wrapped up in these pieces because they tend to be a little darker, I think, you know, the read on them. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, I really like to discuss the Garden of Emoji Delights a little bit, but also I think because of what you just mentioned, I'd love to talk a little bit about what you do online. And unlike a lot of artists, and just correct me if I'm perceiving this wrong, but since you're working and referencing digital culture, and it's so easy to share some of your works and, you know, GIFs or even, you know, I mean, with the exception, I suppose, of the Garden of Emoji Delights at the very least, mm-hmm. but a lot of these are meant to share. What is your online activity like? And I mean, what is the architecture of that? What are you doing online to share? Because I would imagine you're doing it differently than other people, or certainly with a different awareness.
Well, I'm an active poster. And when I first started, not as in poster, you know, piece of paper hung on a wall, I actively post. I actively share things. I actively share things that I make. And this wasn't something I did when I first got online. I mean, I've been online for a number of years, but before I began to participate on social media platforms. But as I became more interested in their potential, particularly in their potential as a way for an artist to express herself, I started to experiment with things like I've done a couple of Twitter projects, one in which I worked with a developer to create this app. It was a transmedia project. I'd also collaborated with a poet, and we produced this book of drawings and poetry, and then we created this web application where people could further reauthor our texts and images, and then those would get tweeted out. And so that was very directly working with, you know, the language of new media and the language of network culture. But I'm a visual artist, so I often choose to share images and kind of express my views or the questions I have just about our existence and particularly 21st century existence, because that's the context in which I live online. And so I do that actively. But I also have a studio practice, and for example, these selfie drawings, four, will be in an upcoming show in Berlin that I'm excited about. It's a group show called Porn to Pizza, opening September 6th, and I will be printing out the pieces and then drawing over them with paint and with Prismacolors. And so I'm also interested in hybrid forms of expression and the convergence of the virtual and the real, and how we can take an object or an idea that's conceived either because it's inspired by online culture or it's conceived as a virtual object made of, you know, bits of data, and then we can physicalize it. We can instantiate it in the real, and then we can manipulate it more, and there can be a different reaction to it or a different experience or just an in-real-life experience with the art object, too. I don't know if I answered your question, though.
Well, you did. I mean, there's, you know, I mean, because that's a kind of a large question for you to talk about online culture,
yeah. Course,
which, so your question, I mean, I could talk about a number of those things, but that does answer it in the sense of how you approach sharing culture as I see it. And in terms of what platforms you're actually on, does that mean like daily you're posting things on Instagram, Facebook, and six other platforms? Or, I mean, in terms of those kind of very popular platforms.
Yeah, I'm using popular platforms. I definitely am. I'm using Elo. I'm using Facebook. I'm using Google+, Instagram, Twitter, sometimes Pinterest. But I'm using these popular platforms because that's where you have a large audience. That's where you can garner a following. And I often am self-conscious about it because I think, are they getting sick of me posting all the time? But it's become this kind of routine and this way that I share the work, and it becomes serialized in a way. I've done several different projects that have this kind of serialized nature to them. And my mode of sharing them is through these networks. You know, and that's interesting because these are the days of Web 2.0 and soon perhaps a Web 3.0, more haptic web. But in the earlier days of net art and digital intervention, people were building platforms or people were disrupting platforms. Or, you know, there were other ways. There was Jody that was, you know, actually hacking into something or creating a more disruptive platform. And I am not doing that. I am using these proprietary networks and using them as a way to share art instead of what I ate for the day, you know, and just thinking that that kind of reconstitutes my relationship to it, but I'm not really subverting the form.
Of course, right. I understand. But aren't you also getting other, you mentioned, you know, that sometimes you wonder whether people are getting tired of you or not. Aren't you also getting a lot of feedback? I mean, part of what strikes me about your work is it's obviously suited for sharing because it was, you know, I mean, I suppose to some extent designed with that in mind so that the GIFs I look at and other things you have look fantastic on a computer or even a phone. So aren't you getting great feedback and support that people do want to hear more from you or no?
I am getting quite a bit of feedback, and I've been getting quite a bit of good feedback for this selfie drawing project. And subsequently, or before that, I was getting very positive feedback for the emoji piece. And so, you know, that is something that obviously inspires you to keep working. And it's funny. My gosh, 1999, I created this character. Her name was Sister Gemini. And I wrote this entire story. I created this interactive artwork that basically told the story of my alter ego, Sister Gemini. And the basic kind of thesis is that she's a web hacker / performance artist.
Okay, let me just ask you before you go on. 1999, what were you doing then? That was in where?
In 1999, I was living in New York. I was living in Williamsburg. I was working as a web designer by day, and I was making my art at night. And
okay.
You had
graduated from school already?
I had graduated from school from Boston University with a degree in painting, and I moved to New York and threw away all my paintings and began to work with new forms like photography and video and film and then web work, the internet. And so I developed this character to speak through, I think, to resolve some of my frustrations with the commercial work I was doing during the day, and then the artwork that I was doing at night, you know, on my own time. And she was a person who had this kind of agency online that I didn't feel like I had at the time. And so I could speak through her, but there wasn't really the technology in place at the time for me to share the way I share the experiences or these kind of narratives I produce today. And it's interesting because at the time I had all of these ideas about how she could kind of travel through these different networks, but there wasn't the bandwidth. I produced something in Flash, but it was very small, you know, and today, you know, it used to fill up a screen and now it's tiny on a screen. And there were just lots of technological limitations. And that's kind of fascinating to me, having been working in technology for some time, to see how my own practice adapts to technological change and innovation.
Yeah, that's true. That's fascinating because some of those early net projects, of course, are hard to even be viewed. The history of that has changed so much, and you know, just even in terms of what it means to archive something like that, which makes me want to ask you also about the marketplace for you, and maybe that'll bring us to, you know, Garden of Moji Delights. A lot of this isn't in the marketplace, right? Because it's electronic, or explain that to me. But some of it is, like Garden of Emoji Delights, because it's canvas, not a physical object.
Sure, and that's a very good question. I work with a gallery. I'm represented by a gallery here in Bushwick, Brooklyn, where I'm speaking to you from. The gallery is called Transfer Gallery, and the entire kind of what are the words I'm looking for? Her entire concept is to work with artists using the internet or artists who are working with virtual platforms or working with software and to provide a brick-and-mortar space for the physical instantiation. And it's a kind of post-digital idea, this idea that we're not beyond digital, but we're now at this point where we're starting to think about 20 years of being online, 20 years of the World Wide Web, 20 years, although not everyone was on it at the beginning, but, you know, a significant amount of time that people have been working with technology and how to reconcile our kind of URL lives, our virtual lives, with our real lives, how to make more hybrid objects, how to explore kind of the fabric or to explore something that's more flexible between virtual and physical, or to, again, work in a hybrid space. And I'm kind of fascinated by that because in the early 2000s, I started making digital print work after several years of making interactive work and video work, and I started to get a collector base for my digital print work. It was still relatively new to a lot of people, but I did build a collector base. I'm an academic. I have a full-time job at Pratt Institute in the Department of Digital Arts, so I don't have to rely on art sales. But I have found collectors who are interested in, and there's a broadening community of people who are looking at new media art objects the way they once looked at photography. And I think soon digital art, new media art will, you know, kind of enter the canon, right, so to speak. And so there are ways to monetize it. One way, obviously, is the physical print, like the Garden of Emoji Delights. And all of my work, I generally make a physical print of the work. So it does exist in the real world. And oftentimes, I make really large format prints. They're all limited edition, so that works with the scarcity model. So, you know, on the web, all these small JPEGs or GIFs I post, that's ubiquity. And that's one model. And that's about, you know, the like culture, right, and how many likes you receive. But then in the physical world, it's about scarcity still, at least in terms of the art object. And so it's a limited edition system. But there are other things, for example, that Transfer Gallery is doing where collectors are buying works on USB drive now. And collectors are actually buying the hardware so that they can run whatever the software is so that they can experience the artwork.
Very interesting. So the market itself is also emerging and being created.
Yeah, the market is emerging. It's evolving. There are online platforms like Sedition. I have several animations, and I call them animations. They're motion or moving image works on Sedition, and collectors can purchase your work from this online platform. There are other models that I'm currently working with another one that hasn't launched yet. But people are looking for new ways, one, to distribute work and looking for, you know, a new collector base for this kind of work as well.
It's very interesting. I'd like to end by just asking you, talking a little bit about Garden of Emoji Delights. How long is that up for at the Hudson River Museum?
That is up through September 27th.
Great. So the listeners hearing that will have a chance to see it because this interview will be live in August. Let's talk a little bit about that. Personally, that's a painting that I love, is this kind of classic painting. And talking in this whole interview about digital culture, it seems that that's the one piece that's so, I mean, in a way, I think it's an homage to painting. That was, as a kid, that was one of my favorite paintings. And even as an adult, I think it's so cool. It's endlessly fascinating, right? Why that painting, you know, Bosch's Garden of Earthly Delights, and how did you approach that? Well, yeah.
Really good question. Well, one, I'll remind you, both of my degrees are in painting, and I began painting when I was very young. So I still think of the work that I make and I produce with computer software and using a stylus and a Wacom tablet as a kind of digital painting. Interestingly enough, it's pixels instead of pigments. And so I still have a relationship to the history of painting. This has been a favorite painting of mine for a very long time, too. The other thing, though, about my fascination with network culture, about my fascination with kind of Google results for things and the popularity and appeal of certain visual imagery is that the Garden of Earthly Delights, I'll correct that, the Garden of Earthly Delights gets more Google results than Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel. It is a piece that is so popular with such a large number of people. And emoji are very popular today. My mother uses more emoji than I do when she's texting me. And so I started thinking about, well, here's this contemporary language and sign system we're using, and here's this very iconic, popular piece that people still scratch their head about, for one. They wonder, given the context of the time it was made in, and that there's very little information about Bosch, the artist himself, who he was or why he was kind of, or how even, he was telling stories in this way. He influenced the Surrealist, and obviously the Surrealist, I think, influenced the programmers and developers of Adobe Photoshop, for example, and all of the effects we can use. And so there's just a really interesting lineage there, but there's also, in terms of my using work that, you know, comes from pop culture, there's a popularity factor there, too. You know, it's something that is iconic and recognizable. And so I then took on this task of emojifying it. I use that. I don't know if that's actually a verb, but it works. And
yeah, it works.
As I was working on it, something else that kind of arose was that when people were looking at it, they saw the emoji, they saw the Bosch. But there's also a lot of my own kind of iconography and language. I kind of expanded the lexical set of emoji because there weren't emoji bodies for me to work with. So I repainted digitally the entire triptych. And so I had to kind of invent a lot of forms myself. And at the time also, there wasn't as diverse a group of emoji. So I was working on the time of, you know, diverse ethnicities with the emoji that I was portraying. And also, you know, working with the language of Bosch and seeing how I could make contemporary representations that looked like emoji, but when there wasn't an emoji there for it, you know, how I could kind of represent it and produce that. So, you know, there's a lot of my own language that, you know, my own visual language that emerged as I worked on this piece.
It's a wonderful piece, and I hope listeners will get to see it. I'm certainly going to go see it. It seems fascinating.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for talking with me today, Carla. It's really been a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks. It was really great.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.